Welcome to the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs. You'll hear insights and ideas from the world's top entrepreneurs and thought leaders,
designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle.
Now here's your host, Steve Cypress.
Hello, we are live. I am arranging the microphone and a laptop, and we have things a little jumpy here. I'm not sure what's going on with my new laptop, but maybe we'll make this a little short. Hey, Justin, I think the quality, it's at least on my end, it's going in and out a little bit, but hopefully we're all right. Your dog is here. We're ready to get the show on the road for Topical Tuesday, October 17, 2017. Rhino of the day is this cute little baby white rhino from the Wild Safari Company. And you might be wondering, if you follow my videos and I share my Rhino of the Day every day, why I almost always have the tags still on my rhinos. And the reason should be, once I say it, it'll become obvious to everybody, is because this picture of the rhino is another rhino in my collection. There you go. So actually, I could take the tag off and show these on two different days, because I have a little booklet here about the white baby rhino, and then I have a little figurine of a white baby rhino, and to me, those are two rhinos in my collection. So, of course, I would not throw out a picture of a rhino. I collect rhinos and pictures of rhinos, and this does have some fun facts. I have to put on my glasses for this one, but it will tell you, for all you rhino fans out there, that this is a rhinoceros baby. It is a Ceratophyton. I can't even read it with the glasses on. What does that tell you? Simium. Ceratophyton, simium, whatever, class mammals, order something, weight at birth about 120 pounds. Factoid, the front, the horn of the rhino is made of, is not made of bone, but tightly connected hair. Correct, keratin, I think, is the technical name for it. That is what the rhino horn is made of. However, this being a baby rhino, does not have the developed horn yet. Anyway, enough about that. So this is the busiest time of the year here in the U.S. for professional sports. All four major professional sports are going on at the same time. Well, technically, I think tonight is opening night for the NBA, and the NFL football season has been going on for about a month or so, and the baseball, the professional Major League Baseball, is in the playoffs, and I think the World Series is starting like this weekend or next week, and the NHL is starting in a few weeks, but they're doing the preseason now, and they're all gearing up for opening day. So all the excitement, the most excitement of the year is right now for sports fan of the major sports in the United States. I don't know what it is in your country. I know I got people watching, and I have clients from all over the world, so but might be different times in your area. But these days, sports is such a major thing. There's almost always things going on in the sports world. So the question is, are you using and leveraging all the water cooler talk and all the people tuning into these games and talking and thinking about them and all this publicity that's out there? Are you leveraging that for your business? Hey, I see a light go across the screen. Brett Olaya is here. Lindsay's here. Thank you for all the likes and for being here, folks. And so behooves you to leverage this in your business, to have some kind of a World Series promotion, especially if you're in one of the cities that has one of the four teams left in baseball where all the excitement is going on at the end of the year, which you could look it up. I didn't think of looking it up here, but I thought about it the other day that I think it's probably the first time ever that the four largest cities in America are the home of the four remaining teams in baseball. I don't remember that ever happening. You know, it's Kansas City and St. Louis and Boston and Cleveland and, you know, San Francisco and whatever, and on and on and on. But no, this year it's the top four most populous metropolitan areas in the United States. New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, 1, 2, 3, 4. Those are the four teams left. So I don't know what that means. Just interesting. And maybe that's going to be good for the ratings, which matter. But anyway, let's say you're in one of these cities. So I lived in Chicago 15 years. So let's just take the Cubbies. And I would think that even though I'm not there now, the city's going kind of crazy over the Cubbies. So why aren't you in your business, or are you? Hey, I got some, even sounds are coming out here. And let's go. I got some comments going on. Let's see these before we go on. Brett Elias says, wow. Is he
talking about the WoW strategy, because we always talk about that. And he says, go Cubbies. He's all excited. And great point, the four major cities had the four final baseball teams. I don't know if that's, I don't remember that happening before in any sport. So pretty exciting if you're a TV executive who's putting on the World Series, or if you're selling the advertising and saying, hey, this is going to be watched by a guaranteed one of the four, two of the four major metropolitan areas in the country. Now, grain of salt, that's actually not where the biggest fan bases are. For instance, Houston, there are more fans of the Atlanta Braves, for instance, when you spread them out all over the country, than there are of the Houston Astros. Houston Astros only been around since, you know, like 1960 or something. I think they started the same year as my beloved New York Mets. And so 1960, but Atlanta Braves, thanks to the TBS, the Turner Superstation, the first station, along with the WGN in Chicago. So those are like the first two stations to broadcast baseball games all over the country. Those two teams have fans all over the country. So likely more fans than any one city with those two teams. Anyway, I digress. So, but here's the thing. Are you using this in your marketing? Let's say you're in Chicago, or you have any clients in Chicago, or have any business at all going on in Chicago. You could say, I will give X number of bonus if the Cubbies win tonight. Or the World Series is starting next week, and throw some kind of World Series no matter where you are. World Series, kind of universal in the U.S., no matter what teams are playing. Same with the Super Bowl when it comes up. Same with the NBA Finals when that comes up. The Indy 500, the Kentucky Derby, you know. Big national events just scream for all kinds of marketing ideas. So you do all kinds of promotions, and you figure out, you do the math, of course. We always talk about it, direct response marketing, the WOW strategy. It's all about two things and two things only, human behavioral psychology and math. Simple as that. So human behavioral psychology is what we're talking about here. People are focused on and excited about professional sports right now. So we tap into that much easier than trying to steer the conversation away from that and to your business and say, hey, stop thinking and talking only about the Cubbies and think about Joe's Heating and Air Company. Like, not going to happen. Or it's going to take you a lot of time, effort, money, and expertise to make that happen, a lot more than I'm willing to put in. I'd rather just tap in to the current, the gushing, flowing current of Cubby talk and say, hey, for every Cubby homer tonight, I'll give you $10 off your next service call if you book it tomorrow on the day after the game and you mention the Cubbies won. Or whatever, or anyone, off the top of my head, I'm not going to come up with all of them. Contact me if you want some help, but that's the kind of thing. Throw things based on number of home runs hit, or if the team makes it here, or who makes it, or what happens. If you have a national business, for instance, like I have clients all over the world, I could say I'm doing a special. Any clients that I have, or any prospects that I have that sign up to my whatever from one of these four cities over this next week only, until the league championship series is over, you have a deadline of whenever the games are over. Could be tomorrow, could be the next day, whatever it is. I give you X percent off, and I'll double it if your team wins and makes it to the World Series. Now I got everybody rooting for their team to win and thinking about me at the same time. Much easier than getting them to stop thinking about what you're not going to get them to stop thinking about, and to get them to only think about you. You want to piggyback on it. That's the idea. That's the strategy that I'm mentioning here on Topical Tuesday. Now, I also mentioned when I wrote the blurb up here that there is, and I can't even read it myself till I click on the more button here. What did I write? Something about, yes, some caution is advised. So, for instance, I think tonight is opening night in the NBA. And unless I'm incorrect, the NBA, which is overwhelmingly black. So, like, pro football, like, they say 70% of the players are black. Well, in the NBA, it must be 90 or something. So, this is going to cause, if you ask me, all kinds of massive confusion of what the heck's going on, because the players say one thing, but they do another. Oh, but we're protesting this, but we're actually disrespecting the flag at the same time. But no, we're not disrespecting the flag. Yeah, but you are. So, I think that's all going to go on, which means my 50-plus years of following my beloved New York Knicks might be coming to an end, might already be at an end as soon as I find out that they were, you know, doing whatever they do. Anything but doing what the majority of the fans do, what I've done my whole life. You stand up, you face the flag, you stand at attention, you're quiet, you put your hand over your heart, and sometimes you even mouth the words. And this happens for the history of all sports, even though the NBA is very international, so there are players from Poland and Italy and here and where and wherever. Like, from what I, until this year, I can, as far as I remember, they all do that. They have the reverence for the country they're in. They could play pro basketball in whatever country they're from, in Italy or France or Spain or whatever, make like 1/50th the money. I don't see them doing that. I see them being so thankful they're in America, and they give respect to our flag and our national anthem before the game. Is that too much to ask? It's 2 minutes. 2 minutes of your life. For football players, it's once a week. And for basketball players, it's 2-3 times a week. And you got the other 160 whatever hours to do anything the heck you want. Like, have a little reverence and respect for yourself and your fans and your country, or the country you happen to be playing in, that affords you these multiple millions of dollars to play a game for a few months a year and then have half the year off. Give me a break. I can't even think of a reason to disrespect any of that. And so there's other ways of doing your protest. But I have a feeling the NBA players will be doing all kinds of protesting during the national anthem, stupidly, when they could do it at any other time. And therefore, I'll be out of the NBA like I am already out of the NFL, and I already don't care at all about the NFL. Our bug guy came over today, comes over once a month. Big sports fan, big fan of the Arizona Diamondbacks. We would go to the games, and on bobblehead night, my beautiful wife Michelle and I both got a bobblehead of Robbie Ray, one of the pitchers of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And my beautiful wife Michelle's like, well, you know, I don't need mine. Let's give it to Jeff. And so he loves the Diamondbacks. So, you know, we gave him the bobblehead doll, and we're, you know, he's always chitter-chatter about sports, and we always have a joke of my ridiculous Mets or my ridiculous any other team. So naturally, he doesn't know, you know, that I've made a personal decision to not give a crap about any company that's going to have disrespect for me or my country or my national anthem or flag. I'm just not going to do business in any company that does that. If I walked into McDonald's tomorrow and everyone's kneeling and saluting and putting towels over their head while a national anthem is playing, I am, you know, not that I would go into a McDonald's, but I, you know, immediately make a U-turn and get the heck out of there. I don't care what business it is, NFL, Schmanifel, anything else. So he comes in, he's like, hey, your Jets are doing something or whatever. I'm like, not my Jets, don't know. And, you know, he looks, he see, you know, hey, where's the Jet thing that was on the wall over there? Where's it? It's all gone, dude. You know, I'm out. He goes, I don't blame you. Everyone says this, I don't blame you. Whatever. Personal decision. A lot of people, obviously, like, I mean, still following it, but not me. I'm out. And I have a feeling I'll be out of the NBA too, because they'll do something stupid too and disrespectful, and I'll be out. And it's just stupid of the business owner. See, it's not for the players. Players are doing what they want. Like, I wouldn't, it's not, how is it stupid for them? NFL players and NBA players, they have an average career like 3 or 5 years, and they've already signed their contracts. They're making millions and tens of millions of dollars. Whether people stop watching, whether the viewers go down 10%, or people burn their season tickets, or do whatever, players still set for life. It's the team owners that are, which is always, and hopefully that's who I'm talking to, business owners, it's your responsibility not to let your employees destroy your business, because they feel like doing something that's in their best interest, but it's something your customers or clients or patients or members feel disrespected by, or and you personally, man. I mean, you know, what are you doing? The employees don't care, especially the NFL or NBA. They're making all their money, and then they'll go do what they do. Go, you know, the announcers, start a fitness company, buy an insurance agency, whatever they do after they retire. They got tons of money and notoriety and can do a lot of things. So they don't really care that attendance is down and viewership is down. It's the team owners that care and have a vested interest, and they're losing a collective billions of dollars, and that is stupid, and I will not be a part of any of that. So that's the caution. Say, if you're going to do a promotion about, hey, it's opening day for our, let's say you're in Indiana, our Indiana Pacers, opening night, blah, blah, blah. You might get a lot of backlash of like, I ain't watching that because they're disrespecting this, or they kneeled for that or whatever. And suddenly they're associating negatively with your company. So you got, for the first time ever, I'm going to add in that you have to have some caution now when you use sports in your marketing. What a shame. Sports was always, I mean, once in a while, there's some divisive thing going on. There's some guy taking drugs. There's some guys, you know, protesting something. One guy last year in football, you know, one guy. It was, but now it's like an overwhelming thing that you got to be careful. So have a little caution when you're using sports in your marketing. But till this year, and maybe again next year and whatever, it'll again be a universally unifying factor of life and something you can do. And I hope you're all, you know, let me know in a comment, or, you know, shoot me an email, or steve@stevecypress.com, or tweet me on Twitter or whatever, and let me know what kind of sports based promotions you're coming up with for this time of the year. I'd love to see what you're doing and to celebrate with you. If you share the results, we'll all celebrate with you. So as always, hey, Matt is here. Good to see Matt Basak. Matt Basak, a master marketer who knows all this stuff and uses it all. Brett Gilliland is saying Cubs are one of the most followed teams. That is correct. And then Brett Elia also says, as long as they're on the north side of the city. I guess that's a comment. I said something about probably like Chicago's going crazy over the Cubs. Like, true, Chicago likes to divide itself, north, south, Cubs, White Sox. Same in New York. I'm a Mets fan, not fan of the Yanks, so... You know, the Yanks are playing, and I know a lot of Yankee fans, of course. I have clients and friends and people I grew up with Yankee fans. I am not. I no longer actually hate. I used to root against them and hate them. Now I just don't care. Donna is here. Donna Bell, great seeing you. And so, Donna, I think also a Yankees fan because that's from Fort Lee High School. I went to high school with Donna in Fort Lee, New Jersey, right over the bridge. You could see from my apartment that I live with my dad, you could see right Yankee Stadium. I remember looking over there the night Reggie Jackson hit those three homers in Game 6 of the 1977 World Series on three swings, and just looking over there and going, that place must be going crazy with a party. Anyway, that's it for Topical Tuesday. Use sports in your marketing, but also be a little cautious. But take advantage of all that excitement, activity, and attention that's being paid to sports and not being paid to your business. You know what? Get it being paid to your business. Why not? And make some money. That's it for Topical Tuesday. I will be back with Wisdom Wednesday tomorrow, and I hope you join me then. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today on the Rhino Daily Podcast, the daily podcast for sharp entrepreneurs hosted by Steve Cypress. Join us tomorrow for another exciting episode designed to help you increase your profits and improve your lifestyle. Also, go to rhinodaily.com for more great business exploding tips, strategies, and tactics from the world's top experts. Plus, snag your free copy of Money Making Monthly Magazine.
Goodbye.